I will say that just last week, we actually received patent for proximity-based delivery services. So we officially are true inventors.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Pursuit of Profit podcast. Today's guest has one of the wildest entrepreneurial journeys you'll ever hear. From Goldman Sachs to launching a trampoline park in Kazakhstan, and now to reinventing one of America's most nostalgic traditions, the ice cream truck. Travis Kozowski is the co-founder of Allsies, a brand born in 2020 during the early days of the pandemic. What started as a family project with his wife and three kids quickly grew into a smile factory rolling through neighborhoods. But here's the twist. Allsies isn't just about handing out cones and ice pops. They've modernized a 100-year-old industry with proprietary and patented technology, an app that lets you track trucks in real time, request the stop, or even book private events and parties. With over 30 franchise units already awarded, a total investment range under $200,000, a solid item 19 earnings claim, and a $28 billion ice cream market to tap into, Allsies is positioning itself as both nostalgic and innovative. All right, let's get into it. You have a fascinating background. I'm actually an investment banker myself. You come from Goldman Sachs. You launch a trampoline park in Kazakhstan. Now you're building this modern twist on classic ice cream trucks with Allsies. I have to ask, like, how did you get here? And what inspired you to take this leap into franchising ice cream?
Yeah, it's been a journey. If you would have asked me 5 to 10 years ago if I was going to be doing ice cream trucks, I would have laughed and said that that was crazy. But as you said, I started my career at Goldman. With regards to the founding story of Allsies, I really have to give all the credit to my wife, Mindy. She's the one who actually came up with the idea to begin with. And I have to say, this was an idea that was started during COVID and inspired by COVID, in fact. So kind of just rewinding back to that stage of life that we all experienced, a lot of us were all, you know, socially isolated. It was generally a difficult, dark time. And I had three kids who are now aged 11, 9, and 7. But at the time, they were being homeschooled and really had very little social interaction with other children for months. So one day on a long road trip, we were going to go up and visit my dad up in northern Wisconsin. My wife turned to me and said that she wanted to buy an ice cream truck. And I kind of laughed and smiled and thought this was another one of, you know, the COVID ideas that she came up with, like getting chickens. But, you know, when we were diving through this a little bit more, you know, what her desire was at the very beginning was to just have an idea, have something that she could do with the kids and have something that the kids could participate in and really use this as a platform for spreading happiness amongst the community.
Yeah.
So really at the very beginning, this was an idea really about the community and to spread happiness. As we were brainstorming this even more, we had the idea of creating a technology-enabled ice cream truck. Mm-hmm. I will say my wife, she's in the venture capital industry, and so she interacts with a lot of founders and kind of taking that playbook of a century-old or an old business model, a proven business model, and reinvigorating it or reimagining it with technology is something that's been done before in different industries. And as we were thinking about it, the ice cream truck industry as a whole truly is one that is, you know, over a century old. It's over 100 years old,
yeah,
and has not been changed at all. And so with that, you know, we were brainstorming about different technology-enabled aspects that we can incorporate to reimagine and bring this industry back. So that's where the inspiration for Allsies came from, and excited, you know, 5 years later that that vision has turned into a reality.
That's very cool. Yeah, first ice cream truck was 1920s.
It was.
And there has been zero advancements, zero technology. If anything, the people and the vehicles got creepier. Think about it. Like, it started out wholesome, and then it got really weird, right? And then it became like, whoa, maybe we shouldn't be running towards that van. And now you're taking this thing and making it inviting, right? You got it wrapped beautifully. TVs now out front. I mean, you really have done an amazing job with the brand. I love the look and feel. I like the color scheme. I like the background and the logo. My understanding is that you took the girls' names and put them together, and this your daughter's names created the name?
Yes. It's actually all three of my kids' names. So it's Alexandra, Landon, and Sienna, and her nickname was C. So that formed Allsies. So this is a family business. And what a lot of people don't see, it's kind of an Easter egg, is in the actual logo. It's a ice cream cone and a Google pin, which is what has created the actual logo.
Okay, so, I was going to ask you that. Why did you put a circle in the middle of the ice cream? And that's the logic. It's tech. It's geo-targeted.
Very much so. So from the very beginning when we started Allsies, we had the vision of creating this technology-enabled ice cream truck with location services and being able to track the truck in real time, call the truck to your location.
All right, Travis. So when I hear so here's one of the questions I ask brands all the time. They go on about their technology platform, right? The tech stack. And I'm like, did you create it? Or is it kind of white labeled? You brought it in and you're enhancing it. They're like, no, we created it. And I always go, oh man, you know, what makes that person qualified to do this? Help me understand what made you folks qualify to create this tech versus going out to someone who made it an expertise, obviously, to do it. You know, like for example, when someone tells me, We have our own in-house CRM system. I go, Why would you do that? Help me understand this tech stack that you've created, which I think is brilliant, but how did you do it? What makes it stable? Like, how does it work?
It was a long process. I will say that first and foremost, a lot more lengthy and difficult than I had originally anticipated. Stepping back, I will say that both my wife and I's backgrounds have always been in tech. As you mentioned that I started my career at Goldman Sachs and was covering small cap technology and entertainment stocks. My wife was also in tech covering some of the larger software companies. So we started our career in technology, but that said, I'm not a developer. What we originally did was we mapped out the vision for what we wanted the Allsies technology platform to be. We started looking at other options that were in the market to see if we could use them. But the truth of the matter is that there's nothing out there for what we needed and what we developed. What I will say as well is that, you know, what's unique about our technology platform is we didn't try to take anything off the shelf and kind of mold it around the ice cream truck industry. We actually operated the ice cream truck industry for multiple years and then developed the technology to solve for all the pain points that we saw as operators of this business. So we fully developed this technology platform from the ground up. It's all 100% proprietary. We also developed multiple different platforms that all integrate. One interesting, you know, kind of we joke around saying that about halfway through the development cycle, which is still ongoing, I will say that we're never going to stop and say that we're finished because we're continuing to innovate and to develop. But about a year and a half into it, we were like, wow, we didn't realize how hard this was going to be and how long this was going to be. Had we known, we might have not actually started to pursue this, but we were already there. And so we had to continue to and move forward.
I love what you're doing. I'll make a prediction on the show. I think 5 years from today, so by 2030, the van will be autonomously driven, completely tech stacked. It will have either a humanoid or a robotic arm dispensing the product to the kids. That's my prediction. 5 years from now, minimum, you will literally eliminate all labor costs of humans in the vehicle, which I think is a game changer.
We will see. That said, one thing that I will note about Allsies as a whole is that we are an experience. And so that human interaction, that community interaction is paramount to the success of our business. So we're not exploring that option right now, but if it can be used to enhance the customer experience, then that's something that we definitely look into.
Every brand says that right now, right?
Yeah.
But back to you on what you're building here. I love the simplicity of what you're doing. And for everyone listening, like, do you want to create wealth? Look at all the businesses. Oh, look at everything. Just take this landscape that we call businesses in America. There's probably 30 something million businesses in this country. And just say which one, what of those businesses have not evolved over decades? Think about it. Look at Airbnb, right? Boom. Look at CarMax. What's the friction in buying a car? The people. No negotiating, no haggling, just come in and buy a car. You know, look at Uber. It's all technologies. You want to create wealth? Do what Travis is doing. Take something that has been around forever, proof of concept, pent up demand, and just modernize it. Brilliant.
Yeah, well, thank you. And what we looked at is really trying to solve for the pain points of the industry. As I mentioned, this platform was designed after we were operators of the business. So the first pain point that we looked to solve for was kind of that century old problem with the ice cream truck. When we were growing up, you'd never know when the ice cream truck was going to be in your neighborhood and you never knew where it was. So what we did is that we created a text message marketing platform that can target specific neighborhoods. So what we do is, prior to visiting a neighborhood, in the morning, about 10 or 11 o'clock, we'll send a targeted text message to that specific neighborhood, telling them that Allzies will be in your neighborhood between, let's say, at 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock. And here's a link to download the app for real-time tracking or to call the truck to your location. So that's that first pain point that the industry has as a whole, is just awareness building that the ice cream truck will be in your neighborhood so you can kind of plan out your day. Then if we move over to the actual mobile app from the customer side, because what I have to explain is that prior to kind of embarking on this technology journey, we didn't appreciate that there's three distinct platforms that have to be created in order for this functionality to work. There's the customer customer app, the mobile app. That's what our customers see. There's the manager platform, which kind of oversees the entire business, schedules the routes. And then there's the driver or ambassador app that's in the actual vehicle that allows you to see where the actual truck is. But from the customer standpoint, once they download the mobile app, if Allzies is in their area with specific radius, a geo fence around where they are that they could choose, it'll actually have a push button notification direct to your smart device saying that Allzies is nearby. You can then open the mobile app and you'll see the truck in real time where the truck is currently.
Like an Uber, like an Uber driver. Where's my car?
Where is the vehicle? Yes. The other thing is, we actually do pre-planned routes. You'll not only see where the truck is, but where it's going. And so this is one of the other kind of small factors that we saw. If you knew where the truck, just where the truck was, you're still having that same problem of kind of chasing the truck always. But what we thought would be better is if you could see where the truck is going so that customers can intercept it along its route. So you're not seeing the truck two blocks away and trying to kind of run two blocks and then chase after it. You know that it's going to be coming a block north of you in a few minutes. You're going to walk a block north and then have that whole ice cream truck experience, listening, hearing the music, seeing it turn its corner, and then watching the kids or yourself, you know, the joy and the nostalgia and the excitement of that truck coming by.
Most people don't get the full story when they start exploring franchising. So they make mistakes that cost them big. That's why my business partner, Justin Guevara, and I wrote Beyond the Brand, The Entrepreneur's Guide to Fearless Franchising. It is our proven six-step process at Franosity to help you find the right franchise, avoid costly pitfalls, and build a business that truly fits your goals. Grab your copy of Beyond the Brand on Amazon or any major book retailer and start building your future fearlessly. Travis, for clarity, the texting. Is the texting, we're geofencing a neighborhood, are we texting the kids? Are we texting the parents? Are we texting people who don't already have the app downloaded? I want to differentiate between a push notification and actually texting a potential future customer.
Yes, we are only texting those who have downloaded the mobile app and opted into text message alerts. So there's two ways you can opt into text message alerts. It's through downloading the mobile app. And you could also go on our website, allzies.com, and sign up for text alerts.
Okay.
So that is specific, and you're able to opt out of text message alerts if you would not like to be informed when you're nearby. And then the push notifications are actually just in-app notifications on your phone saying that, you know, in our example, it'd be saying that we're nearby.
Okay, brilliant.
And then the last functionality, at least from the customer standpoint, that we have is being able to call the truck to your specific location. So it's an ice cream on demand delivered by an ice cream truck. And so that's another, if you're in it, it is proximity based. So within about a half a mile radius, you're able to, there's a kind of a circle that you can see on the mobile app around the truck. And if you're within that radius, then you actually call the truck to your location. So the thought behind this was that if you're in a neighborhood and you see the truck, you know, within a certain proximity, then you can call the truck for a personalized visit to your house.
That's great.
And then I will say, just last week, we actually received patent for proximity-based delivery services. So that was exciting. It was a multi-year process working with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. But just last week, we were approved. So we officially are true inventors and have a novel idea of the proximity-based delivery service.
Wow. Good for you. Congrats. Impressive. So now you have the three parts, as you mentioned. We have the consumer-facing app, but now the driver needs technology. The driver has to have some tech on it, whether it's in the vehicle, saying you've been summoned, you know, to 123 Elm Street, right? I mean, how is that? Is that part of the patent? Is the ability to communicate from the consumer side to the driver's side and then making those two meet somehow.
That's right. It's the system for that proximity alert, whereas the customer provides that alert directly to the driver and the driver fulfills the delivery based on the proximity.
So I can't believe Uber didn't have something like that locked down. That fits, that kind of dovetails into what Uber does, right?
Yeah, the difference is Uber obviously is their class of service. Uber Eats is a different type of service, whereas they're actually connecting a platform that connects with a restaurant to a driver. And so the driver is performing the delivery, but first they have to pick up the food and then bring it to the actual customer. So it's not fulfilling the delivery from the actual vehicle for the ice cream truck, because we always have product on our actual vehicle. So there's a lot of nuances with this. And so given the fact that our truck has the actual product, is connecting directly and then fulfilling that delivery, we are able to qualify for a patent in that regard.
Do you think that this patent is enough to block a competitor that wants to knock off what Alsys is doing?
Potentially, and hopefully, because we spent a tremendous amount of time and resources in developing this technology system. And so the patent just proves that we were the first to market and have this system now patented. So,
okay. So customer app, totally get it, right? They're receiving notifications. They probably know what they purchased before. You know their purchase history, I would imagine, right?
We do, yes.
Right. So you're aggregating all this data. You have the driver app. We understand what the driver needs to do their job effectively. What's their route? How do they begin their day? Where do they begin it? Where are they driving? Because they need to follow that route.
Exactly,
because
you're
telling the whole, you're telling the whole community this driver is taking this exact route so that they can intercept it or just wait for them to arrive, you know, on time, on schedule. And then you have this other component, which would be the manager app, which is what? All of the data analytics, all of the KPIs. Explain that part of the business of your tech stack.
Yeah. So what we wanted to help our, not only ourselves, because we operate 5 trucks within our market, but we wanted to help our franchise partners and operators to efficiently manage the business. And I have to kind of rewind back and explain the pain point of what we experienced when we were operating multiple trucks in a market to explain the efficiency of the actual manager platform. But just to summarize, the manager platform is a web-based platform that we use to kind of oversee the entire business. It's the command and control center. Mm-hmm. It's where we can build, design routes. And within that platform, you actually can see the customers who have downloaded the app. So you're building smart routes. We're trying to make data-driven decisions in everything that we do at Alsys. And so you're able to design those routes and then schedule it very quickly and assign it to various drivers or ambassadors. We always call our drivers ambassadors because they're much more than just a driver. They're representative of the brand and the market. Mm-hmm. And so that platform is able to seamlessly perform those functions.
Okay.
What we experienced when we were operating this prior to us developing this technology was just the act of getting trucks out on the road was a very time consuming and difficult activity. We would have to have, about 20-minute brief sessions with each ambassador prior to them going on their daily route to just explain to them the schedule. We're having to text them. Right. We want you in this neighborhood at 1:00. Then we have a birthday party at this location at 2:30. And then we want you to go back and do another neighborhood route. And so you'd have to brief them on the type of route, the type of events for each and every truck that you were trying to send out.
Yeah.
That would take multiple hours every single day.
This eliminates all of that.
Eliminates all of that. And you can schedule 3, 4, 5 plus trucks in a matter of minutes.
Wow.
And all of the routes are saved in the portfolio. And it's as easy as clicking and dragging to the time, clicking publish or save, and then assigning it to the actual ambassadors. That's what pushes it to the customer app and then to the actual ambassador. So all of the ambassador has to do when they walk in to work that day is they open up the tablet, they look at their scheduled route, they see the type of events, all the notes for the different events, where they are, where they're supposed to park, all the instructions, stock the truck, and then they're out. And then the actual, the app also ties into Google Maps, and you can actually get directions directly to the starting point of the route. Because the issue that we faced before was whenever an ambassador would go out, they'd always ask, well, I can't find this neighborhood on Google Maps. Where is this located? So you have to set a pin. And then after that, they would ask, how do we find, we don't know where the park is. We don't know where the pool is. How do we navigate through here? So we would go on Google or MapMyRun and start drawing routes, screenshotting it, and then sending it to our ambassadors. So this solves for that entire problem and makes it just much more efficient to manage either one vehicle or multiple vehicles.
Tracking the vehicle, the devices used, the technology used to track the vehicle, is that proprietary or are you using something that fleet managers have been using forever, like WEX Telematics or something?
Yeah, we're trying to use APIs wherever there's a large technology partner that's available.
Okay.
That's their specialty. So, yeah. You know, all of our maps are driven by Google Maps. They're the best in the business. And so we didn't want to recreate anything. So we are tying into different APIs where necessary.
Okay, good.
Our point of sale system, just like you said, we're not going to recreate a multi-billion dollar technology system like Square. And so we're tying in with Square for a lot of their functionality.
Okay, I was going to ask you about POS, that there's mm-hmm. a POS system, you know, because we're in the royalty business, right? You're building this to scale it and to ultimately you need to quantify what was sold, what is owed in royalties. Are you doing a flat rate royalty with the POS or no? Because you have Square on the vehicles, you're charging a royalty as a percentage of revenue.
We are. Yeah, we are doing a percentage of revenue. And what I will say, a lot of the other mobile vendors do a flat royalty.
I know, that's why I asked.
They don't track.
Yeah.
When starting this business, what I've said and what I continue to tell our franchise partners is that we want to have our interests align with you and we want to be incentivized to help you grow your business. In the event that we had a flat royalty, just the incentive structure is built so that you're not as incentivized for outperforming or for promoting your franchise partners to grow their business. And what I want to design is a partnership, whereas we are pushing, we are helping them, we are advising them to try to grow the absolute best business they possibly can. If they're making money, we will as well. But if they're not making money, we don't deserve it. And so we don't want to earn money as well. So it's purely a royalty-based business. And I felt it was our interests were most aligned in that regard.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. And you're right. Most food trucks, they don't want to deal with an honor system. They just want to know it's a flat rate. This is what you're paying per month. Swing for the fences. Do what you want to do with the business. You only want to work weekends. Good for you. You want to work 7 days a week. Right on. It's kind of like loose. You're paying me X. So I do like the way you're building the business. I want to get into the product itself because I know you're the type of guy and your wife, obviously, you put a lot of thought into every single component of this business. Talk to me about the product that you're actually selling. Are you making it? Is it prepackaged? Like, what are you doing? What is the product? And what products are you selling? You know, we're calling it an ice cream truck. And then we find out for people, it's like, oh no, we're serving this, 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 and this way outside the scope of ice cream. So
yeah.
What exactly are you selling? How are you selling it? And explain the thought into that.
Yeah, I will say first and foremost, we are not your standard ice cream truck. A lot of the products that you're accustomed to, we're not holding, we're not carrying. What we have developed is a curated menu of gourmet products, kind of our signature line. We've partnered with Nightingale Ice Cream Sandwiches. It's a very, very gourmet ice cream. It was actually highlighted by the Wall Street Journal about a year ago as one of the top 5 ice cream brands in the United States. So much different than a standard ice cream sandwich. It's a very unique product and very gourmet.
Okay.
We do carry the standard classics and characters. So your SpongeBob or your Bomb Pop, we do carry those primarily for the kids. And we have some of the nostalgic items from years past. We did carry the Choco Taco until that was discontinued. There was a big uproar about that, but we do carry some of the other nostalgic items. And then the third line of products that we carry is we're looking to always partner with a local partner. This business as a whole is a community-based business. It's a local-based business. And so working and partnering with local businesses, promoting that community interaction, that yep. community support is something that is very, very you know, is valuable to the brand and something that we want to promote. And so we always look at a local brand in the market to work with.
Give me an example of what you mean by that. And I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
So in our local market, we have a local artisanal popsicle vendor that we work with very closely. She has phenomenal products and has a very, very strong following within our specific market. So we've partnered with her. In other markets, we've partnered with other vendors that are local to that area. What we've also found is taste preferences are different in different geographies. So there's, you know, in Georgia, there's the Georgia peach. So there's peach flavored ice cream that is more popular there. In Texas, we've partnered with Bluebell. Bluebell is a Texas-based mm-hmm. ice cream company. So always looking to adapt the menu to the local market.
That's very smart.
Yeah. And what I will say, one thing that is a big differentiator is all of our, I should have said this at the beginning, but all of our products are prepackaged, and that was by design. So prepackaged products have allowed us to, you know, multiple different benefits, but first and foremost, it allows us to not have to deal with as stringent of health inspections if you're handling food.
Absolutely.
All the above. In specific counties, there's different regulations, but by and large, we're not handling any food. It's all prepackaged in nature. So that allows us to bypass a number of health inspections, but also allows us to reduce the build-out cost of the truck because we don't have to build up those stainless steel countertops. We don't have to build up the trucks to restaurant standards. And what I will say is probably the biggest benefit from having prepackaged products is our ability to transact is about 3 to 4 times faster than soft serve or scooped ice cream. Mm-hmm. So that's where our niche is in these large volume events, transacting really, really fast and being able to serve a lot of customers in a short period of time.
It's true. People think it's like, hey, I don't want to buy a restaurant. I want to buy a food truck. They don't understand that it is just as expensive. And some of these food trucks are hundreds of thousands of dollars because they have to handle all stainless steel, heavy industrial equipment, hand washing stations. They get big. They get complicated, right? There's a lot going on. Your refrigeration, your freezer, your generator. It starts to add up. Travis, I don't know if you know this or not, but one of the genius moves that Fred DeLuca made at Subway was he left one menu item blank on the menu board for every franchisee and every market so that he could do exactly what you said. If you're in Texas, they love their brisket, right? If you're in Brooklyn, you're going to need a kosher item. Uh-huh. If you're here, right? There's a culture and there's a flavor profile, if you will, in every market. There's something that's special to us in this community. And they allowed that one blank menu item to be customized locally. And I thought that was genius. And you're kind of doing that now, where instead of you just leaving a blank menu item, you're weaving in someone that's in the community and bringing them into your business. It's very cool.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right.
All right, so we have the tech. We have the routes, we have the schedules. You know what we didn't talk about? You know, you made a comment a minute ago. I want to go back to it. It's like, hey, here's your route. You're going to go here. I want you to be in this neighborhood. 2 o'clock, you have a birthday party. Talk to me about that. You have two parts of your business. There's this random roaming around, right? Just opportunistically ringing a bell. Are you still doing the old school bell?
We are having some old school music, but we don't have the old school bell.
Okay. So you're playing some music that's letting people know you're in the vicinity. It's getting louder. They must be coming towards me. But talk to me about the percentage of revenue that would be driving around route-based versus event-based. How does that mix?
Great question. If we're looking at the revenue breakdown, I would say right now it's probably one-third, one-third, one-third. And those thirds I would explain as one-third of it is paid events. So how our business is modeled is that we do a bunch of paid events. So think of a birthday party. It's a one-hour time block that somebody's paying for us to be there. So we have an event fee, and then our customers pay for whatever ice cream they consume.
Okay.
And the types of events that we do are very vast, from elderly care facilities to camps to birthday parties, sporting events, et cetera, where somebody's paying for us to actually be there. About a third of the revenue is unpaid events. It's fairs, festivals, soccer games. It's places where, lots of people are congregating, but an individual is not actually paying for us to be there. And then a third of it right now is the route-based business. Mm-hmm. I will say, while we are, you mentioned kind of blindly driving around, that's exactly what we're trying to solve for is making smart routes and being able to target where our customers are, making sure that we're driving in specific areas to enhance that side of the actual business. But as of right now, about one third of it is, a mixed basket amongst our franchise partners. Some are more skewed to events, others are more skewed towards routes. So I'm just giving a broad generalization there in terms of the actual revenue mix.
Okay, I like it. I think it's smart. You got to put belt and suspenders on these things. You know what's happening. A lot of these food trucks, a lot of ice cream businesses are just not around anymore because they haven't evolved and they haven't done all the things that you're doing. As these people are exiting the industry, all you're doing is taking market share. as a mom and pa truck that's been driving around randomly, right? Hasn't put a fresh can of paint on the van in 20 years. They're going away and you're coming in with this new brand look and feel, this new experience and taking market share. I had another question for you because I've mentioned this on a prior episode about the 50-year decline in Americans consuming ice cream, right? So there's been there is a love affair with ice cream, don't get me wrong, but there's also this push-pull with ice cream as yogurt tries to enter the market, which never seems to catch on. It is literally like, I love you not with yogurt. So I'm curious if you're getting involved with yogurt, you know, as an item, as it relates to ice cream. And I want to say something because I've mentioned this in a previous episode and the data supports this. Ice cream consumption in America has been declining for 50 years straight. And it's simple. It's caloric intake, it's sugar. And most of the products that are sold are filled with crap chemicals. And a lot of them don't even melt. If you put them on a counter and come back to them a day later, it's literally still fully formed ice cream that hasn't even melted. And it shows you all the preservatives and chemicals that they put in this stuff. You're a different area. So if someone said to me right now, wait a minute, based on that comment, are you saying I should not buy an Allseas? No, I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying I would never own a brick and mortar ice cream shop. I think that the trends are against you. That is a headwind, not a tailwind. Well, what about the food truck concept? Love it. I love it because you've got the belt and suspender model, the technology, you have the events and people love that. And that is a great hedge. So, and if the audience cares, we peaked in ice cream consumption in 1994. We used to consume 30 pounds of ice cream a year. Today, 20. So 10 fewer pounds a year per capita in the United States, right? Well, where did that 10 pounds go? It went to yogurt. That's where it went.
Or artisanal popsicles or something of that nature. Boom. So that's where, you know, Allseas is classified as an ice cream truck. I will say we carry non-ice cream types of products on our truck as well.
Nice.
So we, you know, I mentioned the Nightingale's, obviously an ice cream product, some of the confectionaries, the old classics and characters, but then the artisanal popsicles, as I mentioned, we have a mix of kind of dairy-based and then non-dairy-based. So how we've curated the menu, we've tried to be able to have an ice cream for everybody. So there's dairy-free options, there's gluten-free options, obviously nut-free in a lot of facilities, but we really want somebody who comes with an Allseas to be able to find something that they would enjoy. My wife, for example, she enjoys some of the fruit-flavored dairy-free options like the strawberry lemonade popsicles. So that's another product that we carry. And when we're talking about kind of the target audience, I laugh because we also carry a dog ice cream as well. So your furry friends, we have dog ice cream and we actually do a bunch of dog events at the local dog parks that people invite us to.
What's it made of?
It's cream-based, but then also with some peanut butter.
Okay. I love it. So, They're children now. They're not animals. We humanize them. They're part of the family. It's no different from Alexandra and then the dog. So I like how you're hedging all these things. Smart.
Yeah. Cliff, you mentioned a data point there that I wanted to clarify a little bit. What is interesting about this industry, and it's kind of a unique point in time that we, I would say, more luckily are in right now, is that this industry is primarily dominated by these old school ice cream trucks. And a lot of the people who've been in the ice cream truck industry have been involved for, you know, 50 plus years.
Right.
And so what we're seeing is a stat that I heard was that we're losing between 5 to 8% of ice cream truck drivers, primarily due to retirement. So there's a high likelihood that almost 50% of the entire ice cream truck industry will turn over within the next 10 years. And so with that, there's very few young kids that are stepping in to jump into a 1995 old school ice cream truck with no AC, no power steering, and drive around and do routes. That said, you know, experiential dining, the demand for experiential dining and the demand for our class of service is on the rise. So we're at a really unique inflection point where, you know, supply is dwindling and that yet demand is growing. And so that's what we're looking to capitalize off of as well.
I completely agree. I believe that you're cannibalizing the attrition in the system. Nobody's backfilling it. And then there's you. So I think you will be the beneficiary or your concept, right, will be the beneficiary of the attrition in the space. Unfortunately, a lot of industries are aging out and nobody's backfilling it. You could build that argument in literally every trade, from plumbing, electrical to paint, anything. Yeah. It's like there's nobody backfilling HVAC people that are aging out of the industry. It's like, well, where are the young people up and coming out of trade school? The answer is they're not there, not at the rate that they're retiring. And so I do like your business. You know, it's interesting because I had someone recently say to me, hey, I want to buy an Auntie Anne's. And I'm like, you know, what, where, why? Oh, I've got this place in, you know, Maryland, and it's a beautiful strip mall. And I'm like, man, I go, name one time you and your family huddled and said, would you like to get in the car and go get a pretzel? The answer is never. When's the last time you and the family huddled and said, would you all like to go out and go get a bag of popcorn? The answer is never. But everyone listening and every family in America, because it's an American tradition, said, hey, who wants to get some ice cream? Like, the answer is everybody, right? People confuse impulse purchases with destination brands. Ice cream is a unique concept because it is not only an impulse item, it's a destination. And that's what makes ice cream in your market very interesting to me, where Auntie Anne's pretzel, if you said to me, I eat it all the time, I'll tell you where you're eating it. You're either getting it at a mall, you're getting it in an arena, or you're getting it at an airport.
At the airport. Exactly.
It's a high traffic venue. There's no way you're getting that down the street at a local strip mall next to the nail salon. It's not happening. Popcorn's the same thing. You get it at stadiums, theaters, amusement parks. They're impulse items. Ice cream plays both parts. Destination, who wants to go to Carvel? Who wants to go to Cold Stone? So you're in a really unique place. I'm bearish on driving to the grocery store and buying a half gallon of Breyers. I'm bearish on that, but I'm bullish on what you're doing. I want to be clear because I've mentioned this statistic about the decline of frozen treats and so on. So hopefully the audience is level set and understands where I'm coming from. Who's the customer? I mean, I'm sure four is accurate, but who is the actual customer? Where does the money come from in this business?
Yeah. Great question. I think that most people believe that our target customer is that, you know, 4 to 14-year-old, that kid. And that is the truth. We do a ton of birthday parties and school events, but I can't really say that that is our only customer by any means.
Right.
Probably half of our events are adult-focused events. A lot of our products that we carry on the truck are, you know, more adult-focused gourmet products. So our split is probably 50-50 kid versus adult, which I think is really unique because a lot of the other ice cream or dessert concepts are primarily targeting those kids. Whereas, you know, a kid will go get something, but the parents won't. And that's what differentiates Allsies, is that we have something for everybody. So you'll find your kid is getting something, but then the parents are also getting an organic artisanal popsicle or a Nightingale ice cream sandwich or something of that nature. So it really is, you know, from 2 to 9, I always say it's from 2 years old to 9 years old, and also dogs.
I think it's great. What's the average ticket? I'm curious now. Now let's get into that a little bit. And I want to get into the item 19. Average ticket.
Yeah. So our average price per ice cream is between $5 to $7. Okay. So we're definitely a premium offering. Our average transaction size last year was around $16.
Okay.
So people buying multiple ice creams for the family or for the kids.
That's right. So let's just say two and a half to three people, something like that.
That's right.
All right. Very cool. Total investment?
Total investment ranges, and it's between about $128,000 to $189,000. That said, I will say that the vast majority are falling right between $150,000 to $155,000. That's kind of the average investment of what we would see to open an Allsies.
Single unit, one van.
Single unit, one van,
okay,
correct.
Got it. Completely, it drop shipped to my location, completely outfitted, wrapped, ready
completely
to go.
Completely outfitted, yep. Including working capital, including your initial inventory to stock your actual vehicle, including, you know, that is turnkey. Everything that you possibly need is in that $150,000 to $155,000 range.
Labor. I have one person driving and serving. There aren't two people in there, right?
There's only one person.
Yeah, so, I love that. I love that low labor model.
Yeah.
I mean, do they have flexibility on hours of operation? Is it a 5-day week, 7-day week operation?
We have complete flexibility in terms of our operating schedule. I will say, generally speaking, we start around lunchtime on most days. That said, we have a bunch of events that will start, you know, around lunchtime as well. So we'll have to come in a little bit early. So kind of that 12 to 8 shift is kind of a standard shift.
Okay.
The only real fixed place you have to be is at an event. We never miss events, but that is, you already know where you're going to be in advance. But that's the beauty of the model. Yeah, it's one ambassador, one driver per van. They can serve between 300 to 350 people in 1 hour. It's a really, really busy hour if you're at a big event, but that's a lot of transaction volume that you're able to do. You can increase it if you put two people in the actual truck for these large base events.
What are you seeing today? Cashless, all electronic payment?
We do both. We are seeing on average, at least at our location, we're around 75% card, 25% cash. Okay. I think that our numbers on the cash side are a little bit skewed because we do a lot of summer camps and the kids come in with cash only there. And so that's where I think that our numbers are a little bit skewed on that side. But still, people love bringing their $5 bill to the ice cream truck.
That's right. Now, your item 19, very impressive, by the way. Impressive compared to the most recent launch of a dessert food truck concept would be Donut Envy. Okay, most recent. When I say most recent, like literally in real time, that brand is still developing. Your item 19 blows them away. Now, what I'm trying to understand when I say that, your item 19 blows them away, I'm unclear on how many vehicles are in this item 19, because the number of paid events was 462. That can't be one van, right?
No, that's not.
All
we
right.
operate.
Help me understand this.
Yeah. So last year on average, we operate about two vehicles on average per day for last year. So the item 19 is reflective of on average, the daily operations was about two vehicles.
Okay. Hence the 1.95. Like you are literally,
right.
You're literally splitting that because you have a fleet of four or five. You.
We have a fleet of five that we brought on throughout the year. Yes.
But this item 19 is less than two. It's 1.95 trucks. Let's just say two trucks. Yeah. Average net sales per transaction was the $1,667, your average ticket. Event fees, you made over 30 grand just in event fees. Ice cream sales, $275,000 for a total of $304,000. You're getting tipped, which is going to the person that's driving it. 25 grand in tips. It's crazy.
Just credit card tips that
right.
we aren't able to cash. Quantify cash.
Right. So $330,000 with including the tips. Cost of goods sold was $96,000, a gross profit of $232,000. Labor was 50 grand. Again, one. Well, that's two people in two vans. So you, 25 grand a year. Folks, we're talking about a gross profit margin of 71%, just to level set this conversation. Fuel peanuts was 10 grand, supplies, right? Very basic stuff. Your unit level EBITDA was 133,000. Your EBITDA margin was 40%. If you are an owner operator, stop me if I'm wrong. This is how I'm understanding your item 19. In this example, we're paying someone to drive that vehicle. That's an employee, and we're paying them, in this example of two vehicles, 50 grand of labor. If I was an owner operator, husband and wife team, we would recover that 50 grand as an add back to the business, right? That's what you're saying in item 19. Okay. So your unit level EBITDA excluding labor was $184,000. That I'm sorry, that blows Donut Envy away. That's a 56% margin.
Yeah. It's a little bit different model, I will say that, because Donut Envy is a trailer and great business, by the way. Really, really high gross margins. So their gross margins are superior to ours. But the difference is they're a destination-based business with a trailer. And so we are able to capitalize both on the destination side
That's right.
and also on the route side as well. So really kind of almost doubling that business.
That's right. That's what I love about your business. I think it's great. Any announcements, anything we missed? We're coming up on time. I love this conversation. Who doesn't love ice cream? And I love that you're adding tech. You're taking a century-old business. You're modernizing it. You're repackaging it. You're making it better. Anything we missed today that you wish you would have talked about or wish I asked?
I think just that, you know, at the end of the day, what we're really trying to do is to provide a lot of value to our franchise partners. In a lot of the podcasts that I've listened to you talk about, I think we share similar values in that it has to be the right fit. So, you know, what we're looking for is we're looking for the right people to partner with. And what do I mean by right people? It's community-based people who are active in the community and want to spread happiness. Because at the end of the day, while this is a great business, it's much more than a business. And our mission is really to spread happiness across the community. That is the reason why we started Allsies to begin with, was really to spread, you know, for that mission of spreading happiness. And so one thing I always like to say to our potential franchise candidates is really, you know, that community aspect is something that is very, very important to us. But I always look at things on a risk-adjusted basis. So we both came from the finance world. I look at risk-adjusted returns. What I like about this business is, first and foremost, it's simple. It's easy to operate. And there's almost no fixed costs associated with the business. The costs are when you're actually in the vehicle and driving. So the labor costs, the fuel costs are all only when you're actually operating that business. And so from a risk-adjusted basis, I think that could represent a great opportunity for the right partners to partner with us and to join the brand.
Absolutely. I like the way you think. Tell your wife, great idea. I think it was brilliant. I'm glad you both brought this to reality. I can't thank you enough for taking time out to be on the show. And I think the audience will benefit from it. I would encourage everyone to download the app just to know when you're coming to a town near them.
Yeah, ALSIES.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Cliff.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss out on more great content. And if you're considering investing in a franchise, whether it's the brand you feature today or another opportunity, we're here to help. Visit us at franocity.com. That's FranOcity.com. We love to help you take that next step towards business ownership.